Good morning. Welcome to Hollywood United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you could be here with us to worship in person and online for this incredible service today. As you can see, we're going to have wonderful offerings from our worship, music, and arts teams, incredible preaching from our pastoral associate, Devin Jones. Woo! And just a wonderful service. We're really glad that you're here. Pastor Kathy is out this weekend for some much-needed refreshment and rest. We're very glad for her. But she'll be back next week for Soul Food Sunday. We're glad you're here today. Take a deep breath. Prepare yourself for this wonderful experience. And may God be with you. God bless you.
I want to invite all the children to come on up on the steps with me before heading off to Children's Church. It seems like we just have a couple of us today, but that's cool. We have our Children's Church will be in Grant Hall today. Youth meets on the second and fourth Sunday, so the youth will stay today in church with families. And we're already preparing for Easter, believe it or not, in children's ministry. And we have some exciting things that we're working on. So I'm going to ask you all a question. You can think about the answer. If you had a magic wand and you could change one thing in the world, what would you change? So think about it. If you could change one thing in the world, what would you change? I think I would probably change, I think it would make it that everybody could teleport. So like after church I wanted to go to Paris, boom, I could be there, right? That'd be pretty awesome. Any other ideas of what you would change if you could change one thing in the world, Benji?
Pacific Ocean into nacho cheese.
Say, Pacific Ocean is what? Nacho cheese? Is that really what you said? The Pacific Ocean is nacho cheese. So would the idea be that you would just get your bag of chips, you would go down to the beach and just eat? I like it. Could you think of anything you'd want to change in the world? Yes, Annalie.
A unicorn into a horsey.
A unicorn is in the world? Unicorns are, yes. Yes, we would see unicorns. You would have maybe a pet unicorn. She asked for a unicorn for Christmas. Did you get it? You good? Okay. All right, good. Can you think of anything you'd want to change? Miss April, can you think of anything? You could change one thing in the world, what you'd change?
I'm going to go a little bit deep and kind of blend a little bit of what you both said. And we've been talking about sharing all of our food and resources, that everybody would share all the food and resources that we have so everybody would have access to food and what they need.
Thank you for helping us make the transition, Miss April. So tomorrow is what holiday? What holiday is tomorrow? You don't have to go to school tomorrow. Does anybody know why? Why don't you have to go to school tomorrow? What day is it? No one?
President's Day.
Yes, President's Day, where we're celebrating George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. They kind of combined them and made them into one holiday. And those were two people who had an idea of how they wanted the world to be different, and they worked towards that goal, right? Abraham Lincoln was like, we need to end slavery in this country. And so he worked with a whole bunch of people to make that happen. George Washington wanted us to be an independent nation that was free to live and to worship and to not be under any other rule of a king or a queen. And then we're celebrating Black History Month, right? And so in Black History Month, we think of all the people who had a dream and a vision, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., about what they wanted the world to be different. So today in children's ministry, we're continuing to talk about all the things that we need, that everybody needs, food and shelter and water. And I want you to always be thinking about, what is something that you could do to make the world a little bit better? That should be something that we all wake up and think about each day. So as you go to children's church and you think about water, we take it for granted, right? You go to the water fountain, take a drink of water. Grab a bottle of water, take a drink. Not everybody has that. Not everybody has clean water. Not everybody has water. Do you want to say something, Annalie?
When I wake up, I have cute dreams.
You have good dreams? I'm so glad. That is really, really good. And we have good dreams for the world. So that's what we're talking about today in Children's Church, and I'm thankful that you're all here to talk about how we can help make this place, this world that we live in, a better place for all. So let's pray. Creator God, thank you for this place. Thank you for this day to stop and to think and to imagine a world where the things that you taught us, Jesus, love and compassion, forgiveness, peace, justice, where those things become the reality of the world. We know it's not the reality of the world, but help us each in our own way, in our own worlds, to seek to make a difference and a change and make this world a better place. We love you and you thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. All God's children said, we're going to have a seat because the handbells are going to perform and we want to sit there and listen to them before we go to children's church. Okay, let's go have a seat.
Thank you to our wonderful Bellabration ringers. We're so excited. May the peace of the Lord be with you. I invite you now to rise and greet each other with the signs of Christ's peace in ways that you are comfortable with, and welcome each other to this place here this morning. On this first Sunday of Lent, you may have noticed that in our narthex outside, there was a large wooden cross and a table at its base with papers on it. On Ash Wednesday every year in our church, as part of the ritual of our service, we invite folks to enter into a time of prayer and to place the things that they want to lift up on those paper cards and put them on the cross. Each Sunday during Lent, it's going to be available for you to also place your prayers there, and our staff will be continually praying over those prayers, and we'll lift them up at the end of this period together. So if you feel like you'd like to do that after church, it's available to you. On some Sundays, it will be in the narthex, and some Sundays, it will be right here in our own sanctuary. This is that powerful time together when we enter into the spirit of prayer, welcoming God to fill us, to hear us, opening ourselves to speak with God in ways that sometimes we don't allow, knowing that God hears everything, the words on our lips and the prayers in our hearts. And we are so grateful to start that time together with our wonderful chancel choir. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, you are the creator of all life, and from you we receive the invitation to walk a new and powerful journey. During the season of Lent, remind us that it is not just what happens on the cross, but the path to the cross and beyond that changes our lives. Be with us on this journey. Thank you for the call that you place in our hearts every day, and give us the power to discern its meaning in our life. Make us bold to lean into the unknown, and give us the courage to live into the fullness of the gifts that you have placed within us. Help us to make room and space for the gifts of others in our lives, in our ministry, and in our community, so that we might be partners in the powerful work of building a beloved community. Help us, like you, to be fishers of people. Help us to cast our net wide so that the bounty will be beautiful and diverse, for we need all that you have provided to sustain our work and help each of us grow. Holy One, be in the broken places, in the world, and in our hearts, and guide our hands as we seek to mend those places in the world. When we feel the temptations of the world that might lead us to places we don't really want to be, or that lead us to brokenness or pain, help us to find the strength and the discernment to walk the other path. We lift up to you ourselves and all those who struggle with these challenges in every single day of our lives, knowing that we are imperfect, that you love us anyway, and that you will provide guidance if we listen. This morning, we lift up to you prayers for ongoing healing for Art and prayers for Rev. Ed as he cares for him. Please be with Patrick and his recent diagnosis of cancer and bring healing. Be with Chris and Jonathan and help them to feel secure and safe in their home. Be with the Binkley family who is in need of your presence. We lift up Lori to you and her concerns about her employment. We pray for Precious Reed, our baby, who is in this urgent care this morning, who has grown up right here in our church. Let her know that her church family is praying for her and we will be seeing her soon. We offer thanks for the birthday of Betty Reed and all the wonderful gifts she brings to our congregation. And this morning we offer thanks, deep and bountiful thanks, for Chanel on the birth of her new son, Gabriel. May this be a time of bonding and healing for them. We have many more prayers for those in our community and for the world, and now we offer them to you in a moment of silent prayer. We are yours, and you are ours, and we are grateful for the way you receive all that we offer. Thank you for carrying the parts of the burden that we cannot, for being with us in moments of great difficulty, and always present in times of joy. You are our parent, our creator, our Holy One, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who you shared with the world so that we might know new beginnings and possibility. And we thank you for the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Happy Sunday, everybody. How are we doing? I'm going to come over here because all my stuff's over here. Just a few announcements for you. Before we get started, let's check in. Put up the QR code, and if you get your phones out, go ahead and scan that. Obviously, put your name in there if you would. Email if you'd like to join our list. We send out emails a couple times a week. But also, if you have any prayer requests, please put those in there in the section that says for prayers. We do collect those every week and pray over them. So please share with us if you feel so desired. Also, food on foot. I just wanted to show you this. We did this last week. It was a lot of fun. Next time, hopefully you'll be there with us. But this happens every week at the LGBT Center in the parking lot. But this was last week. A little group of us went over there to help with people that are food insecure and in need of some clothing and some items. So it was a lot of fun. And next time we're going to do this, it will be, the next outreach project that we have is in April. We're going to go to Project Angel Food and work in their kitchen. So if you haven't grabbed one of these, you can grab it. It's in the pew pocket in front of you. There's actually Project Angel Food is in April, and you can sign up for that right now. Okay, a couple things. Lenten devotionals, they are on all our social media feeds as well as on our website. If you go to the events tab on our website, there's a little picture that says Lenten devotionals. You can click on that, and it has all of those there by day. These are written by our church community, and they are great. So we're sharing with you those every day, all the way up through Easter. So please take a read of those if you can. Today, we're very happy to have Rev Jefferson back with us. He is going to be doing a sound bath, meditation, and worship experience in the chapel after church. So at 12:15, you can go into there. We have some chairs lined up along the wall, but the best way to enjoy this sound bath is to lay on the floor with your head towards the bowls. And it's about 45 minute experience, and it's a wonderful way to just relax and pray and get in the right mind for the start of the week. And also another thing that's happening this week, this just happened, but I think a lot of people are excited about it. Who wants to go roller skating? Well, guess what? It's happening. It's happening on Thursday. We're doing Throwback Thursday at the Moonlight Rollerway. This is actually, Rance's small group had this idea, and we're opening it wide. It's for all ages. But we have 15 spots that we have reserved. Obviously, you can get online. It's a public skate. Anybody can buy tickets. But we have the first 15 people we can get on that guest list. And we're doing it. It's from 8 o'clock to 11. You can come for an hour, stay for all three. But we're going to have a great time, and hopefully I won't break anything. but that's Thursday, the 22nd. And then lastly, this coming Sunday, the 25th, we have Soul Food Sunday. We're excited about this. It is the Sunday where we're celebrating Black history through spoken word, music, and food. Everything starts in here at 11, and then we're going to the gym for an amazing Southern catered lunch. Don't worry, I didn't make it, but I'll tell you what, I'm gonna go on a diet so I can have some more macaroni and cheese, because that stuff was good last year. So please, if you would, grab a few of these. We really wanna invite anybody that hasn't been here, friends, family, and yes, there is an $18 donation for lunch. But if somebody's new, we're all gonna pay for them. I just want people to come and enjoy the experience to be with our church family, and they don't have to worry about paying. So maybe some of us can pay a little extra. So, but we're really excited. John West and the Harmony Band and our choir have been working really hard, and that's happening next week. So join us. One thing real quickly I want to mention, blessing bags are in the narthex, and we have these donated thermal emergency blankets that the United Women in Faith sent over to us. They are right next to the blessing bags, so if you actually take a few today, grab a few of these as well. These are great, especially since it's going to be raining and cold this next week. So hand those out if you see anybody who needs one of those as well. Come see me in the parlor after church. We'll be over there in the parlor for the cookie and coffee hour, and I can answer any questions if you have any. Everything we do here, Soul Food Sunday, blessing bags, roller skating, all of it is made possible by you through your prayers, your presence, your service, and your gifts. So as the ushers come forward and we put up the QR code for online giving, please give as you're able, so we can grow this ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you for being here today.
A reading from the book of Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Word of God, words of life, thanks be to God.
Ruth? One second. There's only one line in there about the temptation of Jesus, because I'm supposed to preach on that today.
Yeah, no, there's just one line, and it's from the Book of Mark. So.
Well, I know we're starting Mark today, but maybe we could just dip into Matthew 4 a little bit for a little more detail. Could you worship and art something real quick?
I would appreciate a little notice, but
here we are.
You know, we in worship and arts do pride ourselves on being ever ready.
It's very true. It's very true.
So, I do happen to have a couple of actors here today. Fellas, would wonderful. You come on down?
Right now?
What? We're going to do a little something here. Welcome. Ryan Shervington and Rance Collins.
Why not?
We weren't even ready.
What? Okay. What part should I play?
You will be playing Jesus, and Rance, you will be playing Satan.
Obviously.
And I will be your narrator. So if you will, indulge in us, please. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him,
"If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into loaves of bread."
And he answered,
"It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God."
Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him,
"If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, I command you, if you are the Son..." Ruth, could you... Throw yourself... Okay, yeah. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command the angels concerning you, and they will lift you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone."
And Jesus said to him,
"It's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test."
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him,
"All of these I will give to you if you will bow down and worship me."
Then Jesus said to him,
"Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him."
Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. How was that?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rance, Ryan, and Ruth, for helping give a more visual example of what we're going to talk about today. I mean, it is Hollywood after all, right? What actors don't have the temptation of Jesus ready to go in an audition when asked, "What else do you have?" All right. Well, good morning. So today is the first Sunday in Lent. It's the first Sunday of our new series called Good News, the Gospel of Mark. By the way, Pastor Mark at the Harmony campus is leading a small group on Thursday nights, 7 p.m., to further discuss the book of Mark. The study group is in person at Harmony or on Zoom. You can just email Mark at Hollywood, oh, it's not up there. mark@hollywoodumc.org for more information, and you can join each week, or you can just jump in whenever you are available. Now, we picked an image of a stack of newspapers as a more contemporary example of what the four Gospels were intended to do: more easily spread the good news of Jesus. For many decades after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, stories of his life and ministry were told by word of mouth. And as the original apostles began to get older, someone had the smart idea to begin writing down these stories for the coming generations. Because you know how humans are over time, right? Stories get changed, details get forgotten, and history can get rewritten if you don't have some type of documentation. It's kind of like that game of telephone, when you sit in a circle of like 15 people and whisper that same sentence into each other's ear and it goes around the circle. By the end, the sentence is always just a little bit different. So let's talk about these two Gospels a little bit today, Matthew and Mark. I love understanding the history behind when, who, and how the Bible was written. It actually fascinates me. So, like I said, there's four Gospels. Each give a different perspective of the life and the ministry of Jesus. But did you know that Mark is the supposed oldest of the four? Scholars believe the book of Mark was written by John Mark between 60 and 70 AD while he was in Rome or Syria. And it's also believed that John Mark was a follower of Jesus, but would have more than likely been in his teens when Jesus was in Jerusalem. He may have seen or listened to Jesus on occasion, but after the resurrection, and as the news of Jesus began to spread, John Mark traveled with the Apostle Paul. So John Mark wasn't a part of the original 12 apostles, but he worked closely with Paul. Now, the Gospel of Matthew, on the other hand, was composed in Greek and thought to have been written sometime after the book of Mark, between 85 and 90 AD. So about 15, 20 years after. And there's evident dependence in Matthew on the Gospel of Mark being used as a reference. Now, the Gospel of Matthew has traditionally by the church been attributed to Matthew, one of the 12 original apostles. But these days, most modern scholars think now the book of Matthew was probably written by an anonymous Jewish male who understood both traditional and non-traditional Jewish values. So whether it was the apostle Matthew or possibly someone who had just listened to Matthew retell the stories of Jesus over and over again, the Gospel of Matthew has one of the most descriptive accounts of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. So today, being the first Sunday in Lent, we like to reflect on his 40 days in the wilderness, hence the 40 days of Lent before Palm Sunday. We'll get into the three distinct temptations in a few minutes, but let's first talk about what Jesus uses to counter Satan's temptations. To rebuke Satan, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy for each test. In fact, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy more than any other book in the Old Testament. So in the scripture that Ruth read from Mark, we learn that Jesus was baptized, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Now, most theologians take this to be an announcement that Jesus was the Messiah, and they understand this to also be the moment when Jesus fully realized he was the Messiah. So immediately he went alone into the wilderness to think and contemplate what this meant. Now, of course, Satan took full advantage of this time alone to basically say to Jesus, "Hey, buddy, I hear you're the Messiah. Well, have you thought about what kind of Messiah you're going to be?" See, we can safely assume that Jesus knew Satan long before his life on earth. Long before Satan's fall from grace, Jesus would have known him as one of God's glorified angels. Isaiah 14:12 has been interpreted as an allegory describing Satan's fall from heaven, calling him morning star, son of the dawn. In fact, the name Lucifer means morning star. Luke 10:18 quotes Jesus as saying, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." So this isn't a first encounter. You know, there's some very interesting art out there depicting Satan testing Jesus. Most of it tends to have that devilish look of evil, like this one with the little wings and the horns, or this one as a dark, ominous image, an evil spirit on the wind, or this one, which feels very Dune the movie to me, but it represents to me that voice that you hear in the distance talking you into things. So whether or not Satan was physically present or just a voice in the wind tempting Jesus, I have to believe Jesus knew who was testing him and why. To rebuke each test, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, or as it's known, the laws of Moses. Deuteronomy is a series of speeches and sermons, and it's where Moses gives a standardizing principles for godly conduct, stated directly in the Hebrew Bible. In a way, the book of Matthew portrays Jesus through these temptations as a new Moses, or as someone who will be a teacher and a leader that brings freedom and salvation. In the temptations themselves, Jesus articulates the meaning and the application of what Moses said. And in a deeper sense, some scholars have made the comparison that some of the last words of the first Moses provides the initial content for this new Moses. So let's talk a little bit about temptation. But first, what is temptation? Now, Webster's dictionary says a cause or occasion of enticement. I like that word, enticement. Now, some people think of being tempted as the bad thing, but really a temptation is when you contemplate, rationalize, and think about the consequences. The actual outcome of your decision is the good or bad thing, not the thinking about it. See, during the temptation, this is where you learn who you are. Like every Sunday after church, when I walk up to the beautifully displayed table of sweet treats that Dan has so graciously made for us, I am tempted. I should say, "Get thee behind me, cookie." But then I can see the warm, gooey, glistening butter and smell the sugary, buttery aromas, and I think about how many cookies I can eat before I ruin my lunch. The temptation. And then the decision. This is real good. Whatever Dan made this Sunday is real good. It's not a cookie, but it's delicious. I've had a few. But I am a cookie monster. Now, at least this decision is only waist-altering and not affecting the soul. Whew, hold on. I need a drink of water now. It's good. Now, because I'm a music theater kid, I was inspired to call my message Into the Woods. Or Into the Wilderness, based on the more current movie or musical called Into the Woods. Now, both of these stories are about being tested by a tempter, but Into the Woods has a baker as the main character and a witch as the dark tempter. Now, there's some big differences on how the two stories unfold, but both Jesus and the baker submerge themselves into their own challenging woods, wilderness, to be tested for a greater purpose. Now, when I think of wilderness, I think of that more storybook wilderness with the mountain full of scary trees and the wolves howling in the distance. Maybe those little beady eyes looking at you from the dark. But a Middle Eastern wilderness looks very different. Now, here's a picture of the area where it's believed that Jesus spent a majority of his 40 days. People call it, believe it or not, Mount of Temptation. And as you can see, the wilderness of this area is very dry, desolate land, with not much vegetation or trees for shade. And it was 40 days, so we possibly don't know all of the temptations Jesus might have been tested with. The only way the authors of the gospel would even know about these specific three is from Jesus retelling them. He was the only human there. And in doing so, it seems to most scholars that Jesus was trying to teach us something about temptation, something which can be seen as universal struggles that all humans wrestle with. In his first temptation, it was over food, one of the most basic human needs. Now, Jesus was, I can assume, very hungry after fasting for many days. So Satan tempted Jesus to break his fast and to use his power to feed himself. It wasn't eating or breaking his fast that was the weakness the devil was hoping for, but that Jesus would selfishly use his power to feed himself. Jesus never used his power for selfish reasons. Only when it aligned with his purpose or his teachings would he use them. Instead, Jesus tells the devil, "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Well, rebuked, but not ready to give up. That was just Satan's opener. In the second test, the devil invites Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Now, some have said this represents the near universal human need for people to win affirmation and affection by showing off or creating a spectacle. Again, the devil wanted Jesus to use his heavenly connection selfishly to save himself and test God to see if angels would come save his fall. Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" I love this use of "again" because in this sentence, it seems like Jesus to me is saying, let me spell it out for you one more time. Again, it is written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test like you already did." Add that last little bit. Now, rebuked but not finished, this last temptation, Satan just decides to cut to the chase and just go for it. So Satan tells Jesus that if he would only bow down and worship him as God, Jesus could have it all. My first thought is, doesn't Jesus really have it all already? I mean, he is the Son of God after all. What else is there? I don't know. You know, even some of us with the best intentions find the allure of wealth and power to be irresistible. Most of us now have kind of struggled with this type of temptation. A little deception here, a little fudging there. It's easy to rationalize some one-offs because in small portions, it doesn't seem like much. But it adds up. And over time, it'll begin to shape what you hold dear. It'll begin to mold in your heart who or what you worship. Now, Jesus was angry at this last brazen attempt by the devil. He says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Now, he was paraphrasing Deuteronomy 6, but close. He was doing this all from memory, and I'm sure he was very hungry. But perhaps Jesus was most irritated with this last test because it was and still is the most appealing and threatening of all the temptations to humans. To have it all. But what are you willing to give up or sacrifice? See, Satan had already made his decision long ago with these same temptations. He decided he would selfishly use his heavenly position to obtain power and his own glory. And he decided he would test God with his attempt to overtake heaven. He wanted to be worshiped in place of God. Satan was just hoping Jesus would do the same. But instead, these temptations in the wilderness strengthened Jesus and tested his resolve for a greater purpose. When we pray and stare down our own temptations, we find it does the same for us. And it's comforting to know that Jesus felt the power of these temptations. As it says in Hebrews 4, 15 through 16, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Walking in the footsteps of Jesus begins with baptism, but at some point will include temptation. Living into a spiritual life in Christ includes striving to resist spiritual temptations. Let us remember, when the tempter gets the best of us, we can rest in the knowledge and the hope that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy from the one who knew temptation. Amen. Choir. Just a couple things before we take off today, just a couple things to remember. Obviously, cookie and coffee time is in the parlor today, so please join us over there. And then at 12:15, you can keep going through the building over to the chapel. That is where we're having the sound bath with Reverend Jefferson, and I see him already back here. So excited to have that. It's a great time to relax and breathe and pray. So just a quick benediction here for everybody before we take off today. As we begin the season of Lent, let us reflect on the one who has experienced this human life and understands. And as we journey through the next 40 days, let us reflect on the life and the ministry and the death of Jesus. And as we look to Easter, let us remember there is victory over temptation. There is victory over death. Amen.